two missing children, three strange deaths, two sizable life insurance policies, and religious convictions that some of her own family members have characterized as cult-like. All part of the case involving Lori Vallow Daybell. This is the first in a series of many podcast episodes that we'll be putting out documenting the life of Lori and Chad Daybell, going back as far as we have information, all the way up to today, and then continuing coverage in the ongoing court saga of Chad and Lori Daybell. So press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of this education on the Daybells and the updates into their story. I'm Tony Bruschi from the Hidden Killers podcast, and I'll be narrating this tale of insanity for you. Let's start with birth. Lori Vallow, or Lori Daybell, as she's been known in more recent times, was born Lori Noreen Cox on June 26, 1973. Spent her formative years in San Bernardino, California. She was brought up in the LDS Church, along with her four siblings, Adam, Alex, and Summer. Her mother, Janice Cox, said, "I raised all her kids in the LDS Church, and Lori always loved the scriptures. She took to it right away." Her father said when she was eight, he was trying to educate her, and she started crying because she thought he was a spiritual giant. Her childhood friend, Bernadette Flores Lopez, went to school with Lori at Eisenhower High School in Rialto, California, from 1987 to 1991, where they were cheerleaders together. Friends from her early life recall her as a popular, sweet, rather spoiled girl who excelled academically. Because of her mother's criticism of her appearance, she was very focused on her looks and was interested in cosmetology. "I just thought she was just a Barbie doll. She was just really, really friendly. Not overly friendly, but she was just really sweet. I was just so excited to get to know her." Since they were on the cheer squad together, they spent a lot of time at Lori's house. "Everybody was just so welcoming," Flores Lopez said. Her brother Adam Cox remembers their childhoods were simple. He taught her how to shoot a basketball and remembered her making the cheer squad in ninth grade. Even her brief marriage to her high school sweetheart. "There was nothing odd. There was nothing alarming or something that you would think that, how could she go off and do these things?" Cox said. Quick sidebar on her parents, so you can get some insight there. Barry and Janice Cox, the parents of Lori Vallow Daybell, refused to pay their back taxes because Barry claimed that federal income tax is unlawful. But a judge found that the couple owed more than $300,000 in unpaid taxes. Kind of happens when you don't pay your taxes. They don't really care what you think. Barry Cox believes that federal income tax is unlawful and the IRS is a rogue agency. He and his wife have battled the Internal Revenue Service for decades. That's how you end up accruing more than $300,000 in back taxes, according to court filings. And according to the Arizona State Bar records, Barry was censured by a judge in 2018 for engaging in the illegal practice of law. Barry was sentenced to 366 days in prison for making a false statement to the IRS in 1999. Weeks after his grandchildren went missing, Barry published a book in November of 2019. In his book, How the American Public Can Dismantle the IRS, he claimed that Americans had been illegally and deceptively held captive and in bondage by a gang of self-policing liars who have arrogantly and without conscience imposed an evil regimen to do whatever they want, whenever they want, and to whomever they want to the American public with impunity. True as that statement may be, you still have to pay your taxes. And as you may guess, if this is the male influence in your life growing up, well, your compass may be a bit off. Let's go back to Lori's first three marriages. It is customary for Mormons to serve as missionaries for 2 years after high school. Lori mentioned doing this throughout high school, and it was widely believed that she would do it after graduating. However, she got married instead. At 19 years old, Lori Vallow married her high school sweetheart, Nelson Yanes, in 1992. Their marriage didn't last, however, as little is known about why they divorced. She then moved to Texas, married William Legolia, when she was 22 and had her first child, Colby, in 1996. They divorced just a few short years later, in 1998. Around the time of her second divorce, Lori's sister Stacy died suddenly at 31. Her cause of death has never been determined. After her second marriage ended, she married Joseph Ryan in 2001. They had their daughter Tylee the following year. In 2004, while married to Joe, she was a contestant on Wheel of Fortune and won $17,000. She mentioned her husband, her family, when she was on the show, saying, "I have a wonderful husband, Joseph, at home, who is watching our two beautiful children." That same year, she competed in the Miss Texas pageant. When asked by the judges, "What makes you tick?" she replied, "Being a good mom is very important to me, and a good wife and a good worker. And being all those things is not easy, so I'm basically a ticking time bomb." Oh, little did she know. Or did she? According to her friend Annie Cushing, Lori loved being in the spotlight. "Lori definitely likes being the center of attention," said Cushing. "She told my brother that God told her she was going to be on Wheel of Fortune before she auditioned. Because that's how God works, mysterious ways, letting you know what game shows he's expecting you to appear on at some point in life. Who hasn't had that?" However, behind the scenes, her marriage was in trouble. Joe and Lori had a contentious custody dispute over their daughter, Tylee. Lori accused Joe of sexually abusing both Tylee and Colby. Joe was later exonerated of the charges. They divorced in 2005. Documents released by the Chandler, Arizona Police Department accused Lori and her brother, Alex Cox, of plotting to kill Joe Ryan the year they divorced. The documents said Lori frequently boasted to her friends and relatives about attempting to kill her third husband. In what is thought to have been a botched murder plan, Alex Cox tasered Joe in a Texas parking lot and threatened to kill him. He pleaded guilty to an aggravated assault charge in the second degree and served 3 months in jail. After spending several days in the hospital, Joe pulled through the attack. In 2018, he died of a heart attack. However, Lori's brother Adam Cox believes his siblings are responsible for his death. It's odd that Joe, her ex-husband, supposedly died of a heart attack when they were desperate for money and he left her $50,000 and Tylee gets $2,000. Phoenix police did reopen the case and confirmed that Joe Ryan died of natural causes. The relationship between Lori and her brother Alex is a twisted one. Alex's ex-wife talked to the Chandler, Arizona Police Department, and in a recorded phone call, she described the family as having crazy dynamics. In the call, she described their relationship as very sexualized, and there was a lot of inappropriate touching between them. The Chandler Police Department didn't release her name, but the caller says she married Alex in 1992. Marriage records show that Alex married a woman named Debbie in 1992. And now for your listening enjoyment, the somewhat long, very bizarre phone call between the Chandler Police Department and Alex's ex-wife. Grab yourself some popcorn, because this may take a little while.
Investigations, Detective Coons.
Hi, Detective Coons. This is Debbie. I'm returning your call.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling back.
Sure.
So, I'm not really sure. Did you provide the Chandler Police Department with a tip on a specific homicide investigation?
I did.
Okay. I didn't want to, lead into what the information was or anything like that, or even assume that it was you, because sometimes people play games with us online. So,
sure.
So, I've read the information that you provided, and I'm assuming you typed the information out?
I did.
Okay. What is it that you can actually talk to us about regarding all of this?
Well, I can only share the conversation. So I was married to Alex many years ago, and our marriage ended within a year, but we stayed in very close contact for several years. And I spoke to Alex last, right after he had served time in jail for the assault on Joseph Ryan. And when he was telling me about it, now Alex, I'm sure you know from your investigation, was a comedian. And he was always joking about things. in a funny way or trying to be funny. And he did tell me he was still really, really mad about at Joseph Ryan because of things with his sister Lori.
Okay.
Custody issues. And he had told me that Joseph Ryan had possibly sexually abused the kids, Colby, as well as Tylee. But when I would ask Alex a lot of questions about it and try to dig deeper, then it would turn into, well, we're just trying to get custody. And he would flip-flop around quite a bit on whether or not that abuse had actually taken place, whether they had any proof it had taken place, or if they were just playing games to try to help his sister get custody.
Mm-hmm.
But in that conversation, he told me that he wanted to bait Joseph Ryan into a fight so that he could kill him. And if I had really at that time thought he was serious, because he said it in a joking way, but it was still creepy and weird. Weird enough that I never spoke to Alex again. That was the last time I ever talked to him. I just thought, okay, jail has not been kind to him. He's off his rocker. I really don't want to have this guy in my life anymore.
Oh.
So I just never spoke to him again. That was the last time. But he had told me he wanted to bait him into a fight so that he could kill him and claim self-defense.
Okay. And how long after how long after Alex had been released from serving his time that you guys had this talk?
I think it was probably 2-3 months.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure on the dates, but I know it was relatively soon after, just not immediately.
Okay. Did he ever go into any details of what he did to Joe or anything like that, or why he did that?
Yeah, he told me that he had tased him, and he told me that the reason he did it was because Joe was making it difficult for Lori to get custody of the kids. He also claimed that he did it as punishment for sexually abusing the kids. He said he thought Joseph deserved to die because of the sexual abuse. But really, Alex couldn't provide any. Well, I didn't feel, because I was like, well, are you sure? How do you know? Did you take the kids to a doctor? I was asking a lot of questions, and he just couldn't be straight with the answers. But those were his reasons that he stated to me that he had tased Joe.
Okay, and did he say that he had tried to kill Joe that time, or was it something different?
He didn't say he was trying to kill him. He just wanted to hurt him.
Okay.
But he did tell me he wanted to kill him, but I took it more of, I want to kill that guy, you know, just kind of conversational. I didn't think he would actually go do something like that.
Okay.
I was even shocked that he tased him. But I didn't even know about the tasing. I heard about it from Alex.
What do you mean you didn't know about the tasing?
Oh, I'm sorry. Alex had kind of fallen off the radar.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't talked for about a year. And so I just thought he kind of fell off the radar. And then we talked and he told me where he'd been the last year and what he had done.
Okay. When did you guys get married?
We got married in 92.
So then you got divorced in 93?
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, I don't know that this helps anything with the investigation, but as soon as I married him, I didn't know his family before we got married. We dated, whirlwind romance, got married, then I got to know the family. And there were so many crazy dynamics in that family that And I've gone back since all of this came out and read my journals from that period of time. And there was just a lot of crazy dynamics in that family back then. And it caused a lot of issues right away. And it actually made me scared and nervous.
How so?
And we fought about, because there was a lot of inappropriate, there was a lot of inappropriate sexual touching and things going on in the family, particularly between him and his sister.
So between Alex and Lori?
And Lori.
Okay. You kind of got me at a loss on this one. What do you consider inappropriate sexual touching?
Like, they were simulating sex acts, and which is not normal to me for a brother and a sister. For example, he would pick her up and she'd wrap her legs around his waist and he would kind of bounce her up and down on himself.
Okay.
In front of me, and they would moan and simulate sex acts. And I have brothers, and I would never act like that with one of my brothers.
Okay.
And his mom and dad talked about their sex life in front of us constantly, and it just kind of seemed to be a game for them.
Oh, the mom and dad didn't really object to it then, huh?
No, not at all. All of this was going on in the family, in front of everybody. They had no shame.
Okay. So that obviously was kind of a an alarm for you, I'm assuming, during your marriage.
Yeah.
And did it continue? Was it more than one time that you saw it?
Yeah, it was just about every time we were with them. Now, Alex and I only lived together married for about 4 or 5 months. And then I just knew that that family was too weird, that I had made a big mistake. And so I got out.
Okay. So at the time, were you guys part of LDS?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, both of us had been baptized, but neither one of us were being active.
Okay.
And I was only baptized and active for a year of my life anyway. I wasn't really raised LDS.
Alrighty. How did Alex talk about Lori?
Well, he was a really, really protective big brother, but he also talked about her being hot, and he sexualized her quite a bit, and but he was just also really, really protective. We lived in the same apartment complex for a while, and it just kind of seemed like Alex just chased after her a lot.
Did you ever suspect anything more going on other than their, I guess, their playfulness, I guess?
Well, I asked him because he did touch her breasts and things, but they were allowed to do that in their family. So to him, he didn't think it was weird. He thought I was weird for thinking it was weird. And so we talked about that stuff a lot, but I didn't think he was sleeping with her.
Okay.
I just thought he had the liberty to touch her.
Did you ever confront him on that?
Yeah, I did. I did, and I confronted him on, what about when we have kids? Would you allow that between our kids? And he just didn't think that there was anything wrong with what was going on.
Okay.
So we thought about it.
So you mentioned that he was a protective big brother. Can you talk to me a little bit more about that?
Well, he just she had been married. She got married really quickly. I think she ran off to Las Vegas, and this was right before I married Alex. I think she ran off to Las Vegas with one of her... She married a guy and then came home, and Alex would just always talk about how he wanted to go kick his ass.
Was this Joe or was this somebody else?
No, this was someone else. She got married when she was like 18.
Okay.
And they didn't approve of her choice, and she did run away and elope. And the minute she got back to California, their dad, Barry, made her divorce him. And so Alex was like really, really bothered by that. But if anybody kind of looked at her wrong or treated her how he thought was not right, then he was always talking about how he wanted to kick their ass.
Okay, and did you ever see him take steps to that?
No. I really thought he was all talk and no action on that.
Okay.
He always just talked really tough back then.
How old were they when you guys got married and you saw this behavior?
I was 22 and Alex was 24.
Okay. And I'm unfamiliar with how much older Alex was than Lori.
I'd say 3-4 years.
3-4 years. So, okay. Yeah. So she was maybe 20, 21 at the time?
Yeah. Yep, okay. That sounds right.
Okay. And this, where was this at? What state?
Utah.
In Utah?
Mm-hmm. Lori and Alex both lived here in Utah. And then we just went to California a lot. And so a lot of the inappropriate behavior that I saw, I didn't see any of that in Utah. All of the inappropriate behavior I saw was in California at their mom and dad's house.
So anytime that you guys went to visit the parents, that's when you saw this behavior?
Yeah.
Okay. And otherwise, how was his behavior at the apartments other than, I guess, kind of touching her?
At the apartments, I didn't really see them interact too much. It seemed like here in Utah, she had her friends that she ran around with, and Alex and I were always together. And so I didn't see a whole lot of interaction. I just remember a lot of the conversations about him wanting to beat up the guys she was dating. And he was always kind of obsessed with where she was going and what she was doing, but we didn't do a lot with her.
Okay. And is that also during that time frame that he would refer to her as being hot, or would that be only when you were visiting the family?
No, that was, during that time he would talk about how hot she was.
Okay. And to your knowledge, are they biological brother and sister?
They are, to my knowledge.
Okay. And you never talked to him after that last comment where he stated he was going to try to bait Joe into a fight?
Yeah, nope. That was the last time I talked to him.
Okay. And forgive me, would that have been in 2009?
Yeah.
Or would that have been a little later?
No, I think it was 2009 when I was doing the math.
Okay. But
it was right after he had just been in jail.
Okay. And you said like a couple months maybe after he got out.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. And at that point, did you ever hear of Alex being violent to anybody other than the event with Joe?
No, I hadn't. Like I said, I really thought Alex was all talk and no action. And so I never thought that could happen.
Okay. Did Alex ever...
I was shocked by the tasing.
Well, I can imagine. If you've never seen that type of behavior, I can certainly imagine the shock that could come from that. Did Alex ever talk about religion with you or any ideology that he had?
Yeah, he did. While he and I were married, he got excommunicated from the Mormon Church. And then over the course of the years of our communicating after our divorce, I know that he said he got rebaptized, and then he got excommunicated again. And then I just don't think he ever bothered to try to get rebaptized, but he was always really, really convicted in the faith. He had very strong opinions, but where Alex is weak is he was just sexually promiscuous. And so then he just kept getting kicked out of the church because I think he was a sex addict.
So what makes you think he was sexually promiscuous?
Oh my goodness, because he told me. He would tell me. He couldn't control sex. He would find it wherever he could find it.
And is this after you were divorced?
And it was before also. I was just foolish and thought, oh, he's married now, so that's going to be over. But we were actually living in, when we first moved in together, we were living in Texas. And he had told me about his struggles with sex addiction before we got married.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't really understand what that was at 22. And so I thought, oh, okay, we get married and it's over. But when we were living in Texas, then he came. I had been wanting to move back to Utah because I didn't like living in Texas. And he wanted to stay. But then all of a sudden he came home from work one day and said, okay, we're moving. Pack up the car. Let's go. I didn't ask questions because I was excited to leave. So we packed up the car and we left, but it was really hurried. And we even left some things behind. But once we got back to Utah, I found out that actually he had slept with a 15-year-old girl while we were living in Texas. And her dad had found out, and so her dad was going to come find him.
Gotcha.
So that's why we left.
I'm going to take care of this problem on my own type of a deal.
Yeah. So Alex, that was why Alex came home and said, okay, we're leaving right now.
Okay.
And we were already married at that point, but that did play into our divorce. There was just too much promiscuity.
Sure.
Surrounding sex in our marriage early on.
So infidelity then, I'm assuming, was part of the issues?
I only know about the 15-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. I only know about that one. And then the other sex issues for us were really the situation with his sister.
The situation with his sister with...
Just the touching and, okay. Yeah, the touching and the things that we've already talked about.
Okay.
It was just so blatant all the time when we were around her. And it was always Lori. He didn't act like that with his other sister, Summer, because Summer was really, really young. So, and he didn't act like that with his older sister, Stacy. He only acted like that with Lori.
Okay. So, since all of this stuff has obviously been hitting the media, have you been contacted by any other family members or anyone else and provided information with the intent that they wanted you to say this or anything like
no.
that?
No, I've actually really, really kept a low profile because I don't want to be in the news. I don't want my kids to felt a responsibility to at least say what I heard in that last conversation. And it's taken me a while to even get to you because I left a tip on the Gilbert police, and I left a tip at Idaho, and I left a tip at the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't ever hear from anyone. And then it was just this last week I realized I should have left the tip with Chandler. But no, so I haven't been contacted. No. No. I'm not even sure that people can find our divorce, marriage and divorce license, because it was just so long ago.
Where was that?
So I don't. We got married in Wyoming.
And was it pretty much a know-nothing deal for the divorce?
Yeah.
Okay. Since there's
yeah.
no kids in common?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. So I'm asking this next question because it's going to get asked one way or the other. So it's not to be judgmental or anything like that. But why come forward now this far down the road from when the investigation started?
Well, like I said, at first, I couldn't even believe it. When I saw it on the news, I thought, I can't believe this happened. And then after about a month of that, then I did start trying to reach out. I tried all of those agencies that I told you about.
Okay. When did you actually first hear about this?
December.
December of last year?
Yes.
Okay. And that was because of the search for the kids and or the death of Alex or what?
No, it was the search for the kids. I was watching the news one night.
Okay, and you kind of...
And it came on, and I was just floored.
Okay. All right, I'm going to just let you know that we record our conversations just because the prosecutors want that done. But I'm going to stop the recording now so I can actually ask for your personal information. Okay, so just kind of...
Okay, can I tell you one thing, though?
Yes.
Because I don't want to leave anything out.
Yes.
When I first found out, very first, I did reach out to Alex's sister, Summer,
mm-hmm.
through Instagram and just said, because I heard Alex had died. And so I reached out to his sister, Summer, and I said, I'm just so sorry to hear about Alex. And her response was, don't believe what you're seeing in the news. And that was it. There was no other contact, but I just didn't want you to think that. When you asked me if I'd talked to anyone... I talked to Summer, but that was the only exchange, and that's all that was said.
And that was with Instagram?
Yeah, and that was probably actually in December when I first heard that Alex had passed away and that there was a problem. At that point, I just still couldn't believe that actually he could have done something like this.
Sure.
So I was sad he died.
It is one of those things that we tend to not see in people, and then we have an even harder time believing it when we hear of it.
Yeah, it took me a minute to believe this was actually happening, but I would say, and I'll be honest, I was scared of being in the news, 'cause my kids don't, and I thought, well, the police are going to find everything that they need. But I just couldn't get past what Alex had said. And while he may not have done that plan to Joseph, I don't know that he didn't do it to Charles. And I just couldn't live knowing he had said something like that to me and not pass it on.
And I appreciate the fact that you are reaching out to us to provide this information to us. So I'm going to ask you, if we have additional questions, is it okay to reach out to you?
Of course.
Okay.
Joseph Ryan wasn't the only target of Lori and Alex. Her fourth husband would be their next target, and it would end with his death. And that's where our story saga pauses in the life of Lori and Chad Daybell. There's many more chapters to come right here on this channel, so be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of the story as we retell it, as well as discussions on the case of Lori and Chad Daybell and court coverage when and if it ever happens. My name is Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening.